Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. This music could have been crafted by Tom from Los Angeles, right? The progressive movement generally. We've been talking today to a number of people. I've got Mark Ard on the phone, a friend and a careful observer of the political process and a veteran who's suffered the consequences of our foreign policies. One of the things that you were talking about, Mark, the need to get money out of politics and the way that it affects our policies. And it seems to me that particularly our foreign policy is an area where it's fraught and fraught with problems probably associated with money, because when we look backwards in time, ever since World War II, every foreign policy move we've made, just about, when we look at it with the wisdom of history, we can find out that it was fraught with error, right? Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, these things that we've done, when you look backwards at them, we scratch our head and say, why in the world did we think that was a good idea? And how much national treasure did we waste? And how many human lives did we ruin? And why did we do it? And the reason we did it, apparently, when we look back at it, has a lot to do with decisions that were made based on special interests and special perspectives.
Yeah. I think describing it as being an error is quite generous. I would use a little bit more colorful language. As I mentioned earlier, I just got done reading Dan Ellsberg's memoirs on the Pentagon Papers and how, the Pentagon Papers were basically a research study that was done on all the decision-making process that led up all from presidents previous to Nixon and LBJ going all the way back to FDR. And that, all of the information and data that was in those papers were saying, look, this is a quagmire. We're not going to win this. I mean, and yet, contrary to all of that information and the suggestions that were made by those experts that were doing the research and work on that study, all the decision-making was the complete antithesis to that. Yeah. In fact, I recall in that book where Ellsberg is on a plane flying back from Vietnam, sitting there across from McNamara, or with the defense secretary at the time, and he was saying, Ellsberg was advocating to pull out, let's get out of here, this is a waste of time, too many lives are being spent. And the defense secretary was like, absolutely, in total agreement, 100%, great. And as soon as they land on the tarmac and the guy walks up to the podium, he says, everything's going great in Vietnam, our policy is secure, and it's just like, How the hell does that happen?
I think the other thing that we should look at is how society was dealing with it contemporaneously with it going on, so that the people who wanted to question the policy of Vietnam, which in retrospect was a very erroneous policy, and it's admitted by all that it was an erroneous policy, but at the time, to be a patriot in this country required that everyone basically agree to the valor and the wisdom of our foreign policy, and to turn the back on and to actually tear our society up about those people who wanted to question it. And so
that reminds me of a George Carlin skit. It's a big club and you ain't in it. And it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head when they tell you what to think, what to feel, what to believe, right? And how they who gets labeled as a patriot and who doesn't.
It's more insidious than that, because patriotism
is something, very insidious.
It's something that's required of us to be an accepted member of society, so that if we became viewed as a non-patriot, it would cause us trouble at work. It would cause us trouble socially with our friends, because patriotism is a very important ingredient of everyone's life, and it is in most countries. But in our country,
I think we need to redefine what it means to be a patriot.
Absolutely,
being a patriot means going along with the status quo, with the grain, or the patriot being more rebellious, being a dissenter, being a Dan Ellsberg instead of a freaking talking mouth of a bobbing head for the media military industrial complex.
I think you could, one way we could constructively look at it is the difference between someone who simply says yes, boss, and accepts everything that's handed down, or someone who wants to make the company better.
The technical term you're looking for is bootlicker.
No, that is a term, but But, it, you know, and I think why I've used this before on the radio and in our discussions, but there have been articles comparing the General Motors of the 1970s to Toyota of the 1970s.
Yes, yes.
And how General Motors basically ostracized the people who came forward with criticism of how the company was doing things, and Toyota celebrated them. And quickly, in the space of a decade, Toyota went from being sort of an unknown small Japanese company in the 1960s to the biggest automobile manufacturer in the world for a period of time.
And yeah, we do the complete opposite. I mean, people who should be in jail or should be held accountable to some degree, like for these Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan debacles, they don't go to jail. There's no accountability in this country at any level.
I'm trying to get our conversation not to the point of what do we do with people why shouldn't we celebrate as patriots the people who want to improve our country and make it better? You know, the people who, Michael Moore, who wants to investigate what's going on and figure out what best practices are and wants to point out the areas of deficiency we have in corporations with the Deming movement and Six Sigma and the rest of it. Corporations celebrate this process of self-examination and self-improvement, and corporations and financial analysts and the stock market rewards companies that are constantly finding out what they're doing wrong and doing it better and better. And yet in this country, we denigrate as non-patriots the people who want to stand up and criticize.
You know, that's the subtlety that subtle thread that runs through our society that keeps people in line and keeps people afraid. I mean, it's a way for power structures to maintain the status quo. I think it just comes down. It's as simple as that. But I think it's going to take individuals, you know, people like Ellsbergs and others that have a sense of courage, integrity, that are willing to go against the grain, and those type of mavericks, should be celebrated. But
I mean, I think you can lay it to the feet of a power structure, or you can lay it to the feet of a culture. And I think in the corporate setting, the realization was that it really had to do with the culture, and that a great deal of time is spent in corporations, and was spent in corporations changing the corporate culture, and going through a whole process that consultants made a lot of money on, but it did change corporate America in many respects, and it caused corporate America to improve in leaps and bounds. And instead of being mired like General Motors was in the past and with mediocre products, it moved them towards customer awareness.
Yeah.
Now, if we could move our country towards customer, what's a customer of our country? It's the citizens. It's the people of this country and their needs. They're the customers in this country. If this country could be moved towards that sort of customer awareness and that sort of self-awareness and that sort of self-improvement,
absolutely,
that culture would change the definition of patriotism and would no longer accept bootlicking as a form of patriotism and would turn its back on that sort of conduct, and what rather
right.
would applaud the kind of people who are constantly trying to make us better and make the country better. And I think it would change the political discourse. Liberals, I think, are frequently painted as those outliers, the people who aren't expressing total satisfaction with the country and want to change it. And conservatives have become to be those who embrace the status quo. And the question is, how do we change a culture so that we can have a political dialogue that isn't locked up that way? I think we've got a break coming. Again, this happens so quickly. But 3 minutes. Oh, we have 3 minutes. Ah, okay. I'm wrong. Three fingers is three minutes, depending on how they face, or it's 30 seconds. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Mark?
Well, I was going to say, just coattailing off of what you were just saying, and that we're totally in agreement here in terms of that. I think that, everything we're talking about is really an indictment of those same power structures vis-a-vis the media, which has one of the biggest loudspeakers, and there's an insidiousness there as well between those same corporate interests and the control of the culture. I think we need to be very much more well informed and aware of how those levers are being pulled and for whose benefit. But, you know, as someone who's come out of a conservative Catholic tradition where, you know, in catechism they would teach us the what they call the examination of the conscience, which is essentially the same as, like, that corporate leader who says, hey, how do we, you know, do a self-assessment, an autopsy of the self. We do that as individuals, and we can also do that as a society. In the Marines, they also taught us, you're only as strong as your weakest link. You know, it's very self-aggrandizing for people to just say, oh, well, you know, America's the greatest nation on earth, so therefore, by extension, then I'm great, and there's no need for improvement. Oh, plus, you know, I'm a Christian, and Jesus died for my sins, and so therefore, there's no need for improvement there. So everything's already been done. Everything's taken care of. We've reached the pinnacle. There's no need for improvement. And anyone who says otherwise, then obviously you're some commie-loving, anti-American liberal or whatever, which is just ridiculous. I think that a lot of people are starting to realize, as, you know, that as we continue to move on here and we gain our experiences and have conversations just like this, that is changing. I think people are starting to realize that, you know, it's just kind of foolish. It's immature. It's almost prepubescent to sit there and just pat you on the back and say, you know, my God, look at what we've accomplished. Yes, we've had this conversation before too with other people. America is a great nation, but, you know, we're only as great as our weakest link, man. And there's a lot of weak links around here. So I think exactly what you were arguing there earlier, Sandy, if we were to do that self-assessment, both as individuals and as a society, a lot of things would change, not only here at home, but around the world.
Okay, well, now we are coming
to a break. I'm off my soapbox.
No, it's good stuff. We'll be back.